You're listening to the Marketing for Health Coaches podcast, where we talk about everything that's going to help you get clients and have a truly successful business and lifestyle. I'm your host, Amy Littman. With over 15 years in the industry, you can count on me to keep it practical and doable. In this episode, we're talking about how to create a CEO schedule as a health coach. And I'm so thrilled to have Tracy Hoth on the podcast today to guide us on this topic. Tracy is a 15-year veteran professional organizer and certified life coach who is on a mission to empower coaches to reclaim their time, boost confidence, and maximize profitability through a streamlined and organized business. She's the host of the globally ranked Organized Coach podcast and the creator of Organized Coach Academy, where she helps coaches become organized CEOs. Tracy, I am so glad to have you on the podcast.
I'm so excited to be here, Amy. I've been binge listening to your podcast episodes and I'm loving it. So I'm honored to be a guest.
Oh, I'm so glad to hear that. Thank you so much. I'm so glad that we are talking today about creating a CEO schedule. Before we dive into the specifics of that, can you share your story and how you came to do the work that you do? Which, by the way, I love this blend of being an organizer and a life coach. So I think it's brilliant and I'm fascinated to hear your story.
Yeah. Well, I became a professional organizer. I wanted to do that for years. I stayed home with four kids for 10 years. And then I thought, okay, I want to work a little bit. I want to do some things creatively. And I knew I wanted to help people get organized because I had friends that would ask me or that wouldn't be able to go do stuff because they had to clean or organize or, you know, they had all these home tasks that they had to do. And I knew I could help them reduce that. And so I started organizing in people's homes and offices. And one of the biggest problems people had was paper. So I did that. And I started speaking on the topic of organizing and productivity and did that in people's homes for years. And eventually I wanted to kind of shift into more online. It's a physical job helping people get organized and bending over a pile of paper and moving boxes and stuff. So I knew I wanted to move away from that. So I started coaching online and then I got certified as a life coach. And so then I began combining the practical, like hands-on with the whole mindset. And it's interesting because at first I thought, oh, people aren't going to be able to do this on their own. They really need me to be there with them. But it was miraculous. Like what your mindset and the thoughts that you believe and how you're thinking about things make such a difference. And it was so eye-opening for me as I began to coach only online, not with them in person. They were making amazing progress. And it was so fun to see and just blew my mind. And so I believed in coaching and the combination of helping people make plans and then carry them out just by coaching them through the combination of practical and mindset.
I love that so much. And yeah, I mean, obviously this podcast is not about creating an organizing business, but I do think it's so interesting because I don't know if you had this thought. I could imagine if I were in your shoes, I might have had the thought, well, I'm an organizer. That's like an in-person job. There's no way I can turn this into an online business. Did that factor in at any point?
Well, I had seen coaches with all sorts of niches. So I knew that it was possible to have an organizing niche. And I had been speaking and gathering people's emails. So I had a pretty good size email list that I began to just tell them and make offers for coaching online because a lot of those people didn't live here. I had gotten emails and did workshops, you know, around the world or globe or whatever, United States. And so people could come. And as I made offers, people hired me.
So you were getting immediate validation. I love that so much. And I work a lot with my clients on mindset. And I use the word mindset. And I think what you do probably is a lot of mindset using cognitive behavioral thinking. For me, I use the term mindset because I think that's what we can like put our hands around. It's like a term that we've heard, but really for me, it's soul work. It's like actually getting out of the mind. Mm. But in any case, I just really know the power of the combination of the practical strategy plus the mindset. Mm-hmm. So
identity work, like who they believe, what they believe about themselves, who they are, who they want to shift into being or step into being. It is so fun.
Yeah, absolutely. All right. So we're talking about creating a CEO schedule. And why do you see this from your perspective? Why do you see this as being an important thing to learn?
Mm-hmm. As I shifted, like I had general organizing clients, and then I've shifted into helping coaches organize their businesses. And as I did that, one of the things that came up a lot was time and how they managed their time, how they planned their time, how they, you know, weren't doing the things that they wanted to do. So as you identify first as a CEO and then as an organized CEO, how you think about your schedule and how you think about tasks that you want to do is really important, what you believe about it. And so when I think of a CEO schedule, I think of a schedule that prioritizes what a CEO would be doing, money-making activities for sure, and then the visionary goal side of the business, and then adding all the other tasks on. Where I think sometimes we can get caught up in doing the admin tasks and that sort of thing, which we need to do, especially if we're a one-person company. But prioritizing the other two is really important to grow a business.
Yes, I love that. You know, and leading up to us recording this episode, I've been thinking about what do I think about myself? And I don't think about, oh, I'm a CEO. I don't ever use that term. I mean, it's not officially my title, I think, as a solo entrepreneur, but I do think it's really helpful to really shift into that mindset, even for someone who, like a lot of our listeners who are just starting their businesses. It's like, if I am a CEO, how do I operate?
Mm-hmm.
What does my desk look like? What does my day look like? You don't want to see my desk. There aren't piles because I try to be pretty paperless, but you know, it's a spiral notebook with random notes. It's post-it notes, just kind of in piles. And I think that, yeah, I could probably benefit from your services.
Well, and I think if people don't use the term CEO, it's totally fine. You could use founder. An organized founder of a company or an organized coach, mm-hmm. you know, whatever term you want to use is good. I think CEO brings in, you are the visionary and the person that needs to prioritize certain things in your business. So it's a little bit of that, but I'm with you. I don't know. Do I call myself a CEO? Not really.
Yeah. But I think it works for this topic of a CEO schedule.
Mm-hmm.
So what keeps people from having an effective schedule? And maybe we should talk about what an effective schedule is. How do you define that? Is it what you just said in terms of prioritizing the money-making or client-getting activities?
And then carrying out your schedule is part of it too. I think you make a schedule, whatever that looks like. So I don't want people to think that means I've planned every 15 minutes what I'm doing for the entire day. It doesn't have to look like that. Especially I like working with how people's brains work and what really is working now for them. We don't have to swerve all the way on the other side and become hardcore about it because then we're going to not do well at it and have thoughts about that. So An effective schedule is one really that works for you, that you plan and get done what you want to get done, that grows your business.
I love that. It's what works for you. It reminds me of, you know, you hear people say a lot about exercise. What's the best form of exercise? It's the one that you'll do, right? Or the one you enjoy, because the one you enjoy is the one you're going to do. So that there's no one right way to set up your schedule, but it's what works for you.
Yes.
And allows you to move things forward. Mm-hmm. If a health coach is listening, wants to think about whether they have an effective schedule right now, some questions they might ask themselves are, I mean, what comes to mind for me is like, what have I moved forward in the last week, 2 weeks, month?
Yeah. And am I consistently doing money-making activities or client-getting activities, I think is what you call it, something like that. Am I following through on what I'm planning? Do I like it? But I mean, so that's pretty easy. Am I being consistent? Am I doing the activities that's going to grow my business? Does it feel good? Maybe it doesn't feel good in the moment when you have to do the activity, but does the overall schedule feel good?
Yeah. So things that might get in people's way of having the effective schedule.
I think mostly they identify as someone maybe who's bad at following their schedule. They're just not a scheduled person, or they're bad at following their calendar. So that identity issue for sure. And then the other part of it, I think, is that they forget to remember why they planned it. So maybe that's reviewing their goals. Maybe it's thinking about why, or making a note about why they're planning this activity. They just forget to remember why. So then either they don't follow through, they don't do it, or they don't stay focused and they get distracted while they're doing it. So they just don't remember the big reason why. Mm-hmm. Just general thoughts like, I don't have time. I'm easily distracted. I've never done this before. You know, all of those kinds of mind blocks.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely. A few months ago, I learned, I'm sure you're familiar with this, but I learned this concept of a thought ladder. And I think there's other terms for it. And so I use this a lot with my clients. If we take someone who says that they identify with, I'm disorganized, I'm not good at following a schedule. Mm-hmm. That's in the past. So what is something up higher in the thought ladder that brings you closer to where you want to be, that you can actually put you can actually resonates with you? The thought ladder is designed to counter the problem of just jumping to the most positive thought. So the most positive thought in relation to that one would be, I'm a super organized person and I'm always stay focused, right? And so if someone's starting out with feeling the opposite of that, yeah, they could say those words, but they're not going to resonate. And it's actually going to, there's going to be sort of like a negative impact of trying to jump way up on the thought ladder to this, you know, polar opposite identity. Yes. Yeah. And so someone could start by just saying, I am a business owner who is learning to be more organized, who is learning to work with a schedule. And so I think that can be really helpful.
I also like, so the thought you said was, I'm not good at organizing or following my schedule. I like to be really quirky about it and just say, yet, like, kind of make it fun. Like, oh, yet, but watch out, I'm coming. Or another thought you could consider is, this week I'm testing how this is going to work. Mm-hmm. So it's not like you even have to think if you're good or bad or moving in that direction, but this week you're just testing how putting something on with the reason why I'm doing it next to the title of the appointment, I'm going to test that and see what happens.
I like that a lot. Yeah, testing. And we, like, as health coaches, we do a lot of that with clients where it's like, you don't have to commit to something for the rest of your life or for a month or a week, but what would you be willing to do for one day?
Yeah. I'm going to follow through on one appointment for sure today. And then you can celebrate at the end of the day because you did one thing on your schedule and you could just practice that. Maybe the next week you do two.
I love that. Okay. So where do we start with creating a CEO schedule?
I think first with anything, look at what's working. There are things that are working with how you're running your business and organizing your time. So maybe it's that you're really good at getting in your office on time. Maybe it's that you're a fast writer. So when you have down to write an email, you can do that really quickly. Maybe you're consistent with some part of your business. So just look at your time and how you spend it and what's working well. Maybe you're really good at taking a nap every afternoon, whatever it is, write down some things that work well. And then as an organizer for 15 years, I've always used the steps. I have 5 steps. The acronym is SPASM. And the first step is to sort. So I always like to start by sorting into categories. And you can make up your categories, but some schedule related categories would be your daily tasks. Like, what is there that you do every single day? What is there that you do weekly? Like, that would be maybe writing an email weekly, checking in with a client or client calls. Maybe it would be pitching to a podcast every week. And then what do you do monthly? That could be tracking your KPIs or looking at your finances. What are admin tasks that you do? You could break it down into all sorts of different categories. What are things you hate that you have to do? What are things you like that you do? So sorting into any category that comes to your mind until every single thing is out of your brain. That's the first step. And you can also track your schedule and track what you're doing for a week or so or a couple days just to get an idea and keep adding to this sorted list.
Mm-hmm.
And then the next step is to purge. And so in purging, I like a method called choose your favorites. So maybe you would highlight in yellow anything that you love doing on that list. And then you can do things like delegate. Is there anything on there you can delegate? Is there anything you want to delay? So maybe another category would be projects you want to do. Those projects you want to delay till next month. So delegate, delay, and then delete. Is there anything just you're not going to do it? You've not been doing it. You don't want to do it. So you can delete things. Then you look at those. So you've sorted and you've purged. You have the things that you want to do. Then you pull out your calendar and look at the time you have available. And the A is assign homes. You're going to assign homes to the tasks.
I love this. I can so see. I love how you brilliantly took your process of going into people's homes and just beautifully can apply it to an online business.
Yeah. It's amazing. It works with your mind. It works with projects. So in the beginning of a project, use these exact same steps. It works with your calendar, with your closet, with your clothes, drawers. I mean, it works with everything.
Beautiful. Okay. So assign homes.
So sort, purge, assign homes. That would be making appointments on your calendar. And that could look however you want. It could look like time blocks. It could look like specific appointments. It could look like an appointment and then random little tasks, you know, in the description of the appointment that you're going to do, drop things into as you think about them. And that's going to be your running list. It could look like all sorts of things. And then setting limits is the SPAS, set limits. That's just the time, length of time you're going to give yourself to do tasks. And then maintain is the M, and that is coming back to look at your calendar. Maybe that's a monthly appointment where you look at how your calendar is going. Or in the beginning, it might be a daily thing. You're going to look at your calendar, look at your schedule. Maybe then you move it to a weekly thing. But maintaining, moving things around. As you're testing your schedule, you're going to see, oh, this thing takes me 2 hours, and I really only gave myself 30 minutes. Well, you need to go back and look and think, I need to add that. I need to realize it takes 2 hours for me to do that. You could ask, how could I do this in less time? But you could also just give yourself 2 hours if that's an option.
Yeah, I love just let's be realistic about what it takes, because otherwise we're setting ourselves up for what we might see as failure over and over again, when
and
really
feeling
the
awful.
Yeah, it's being the worst boss to yourself.
Yes.
Which we're all, I think, can be very good at.
Yes. And that's part of this too, is when you're thinking about your CEO schedule, to think about your future self and just think, what is kind? How can I make this work for that person? That person whose brain works like this, that person who gets tired in the afternoon, that person who has a family and needs time to be with their family. How do I make a schedule that works for that person?
I love that. Yeah. When I work with my Abundant Health Coach clients on their schedule, it's in the welcome module. It's the very first thing we do. And what you teach fits perfectly with it. We go a little more granular, you know, with the health coach business and how to allocate their time. But one of the things that I feel really strongly about, and I can see that you do too, is that we're not just setting our business up for success, but we are setting our life up for success. And by success, I just mean, you know, most of us became business owners. We decided to start a business because we love doing this thing that we do, but also because of the lifestyle we want to have. Now, it is a lot of work starting a business. I'm not going to say it doesn't. It takes dedicated time, but I actually think it takes a lot less time than people make it out to be, especially if you're focused on the right things. If you're not wasting lots of time on things that either don't work or aren't a good fit for the stage of business you're at. And so one of the things that we talk about is, what's your restorative time? Mm. What's your downtime? Like, how do you actually want that to look? So rather than just trying to be on this hamster wheel and go, go, go for the first few years of your business and then burn out and have to, you know, take a big step back or quit or or have health struggles, you know, this is a health savvy audience. And so, but at the same time, we are speaking about health and wellness all the time. And yet we can ourselves fall into the same trap of working late at night and not getting enough sleep and not getting outside because I'm speaking from my own experience. So this has been a journey. And now, I mean, honestly, I take a lot of time for myself. And sometimes I wonder, like, how do I make this work? Because I go to exercise pretty much every day and I drive like 20 minutes to get to the place that I love to go. So it's a commitment when I'm doing that. I go for a walk pretty much every day. You know, I take a lunch break. I used to work in front of my computer every time. And so I think what it's done for me, I mean, obviously it's given me less stress and more ease and fulfillment, and it benefits my business as well, I believe, because I have more perspective and I have more creativity and I have more energy when I am sitting down to work. But I think it forces me to crowd things out. Like, I just don't have the time to do things other than my priorities. Mm-hmm. Like, really, I just don't.
Well, I think that brings up something to go back to. As you're sorting your tasks, make sure you have a category called
rejuvenation.
Yeah, rejuvenate. And make sure you have a category and write some fun things in there. And make sure when you're scheduling, you put those things in your calendar.
Yeah, absolutely.
Well, and that was one of the things. So in Organized Coach Academy, there's a module about organizing your time. And as we do this process, one of the girls was like, this is amazing. Like, I realized I don't really have that much to do, kind of like what you were saying. She just didn't really, she was doing all sorts of little tasks that weren't even necessary. And when she looked and saw, what do I need to do to get clients? She was like, I can run my business in so much less time. Just like you're saying, how am I making it work when I'm working less? And so maybe that's a mindset shift that we have to make. Like, what if it is possible that we can work and create a CEO schedule that has more free time than we thought possible?
Absolutely. Yeah. And I think it comes down to A, doing the right things, which we kind of already touched on, and doing them consistently.
Mm-hmm.
And so that the weekly tasks, like the daily tasks and the weekly tasks, that's something that I work on with my clients and really outlining for them. It varies a little bit by the client and how they decide to market their business.
Mm-hmm.
But being really clear about, these are weekly tasks. If you're going to get clients through, let's say, giving talks, then here are the things you want to be doing weekly. And what happens is, for example, if a health coach I'm working with is focusing on giving talks, and every week they are reaching out to 3 places to give talks, then the accumulation of that week after week after week means they're going to book talks, and a good number of them are going to be great places with a great audience. And so when we do it consistently, that's when we see the success. But if we do it once this week and then we wait and we see what comes of it, and we just, you know, are counting on the 3 places I reached out to this week are going to say yes, and then I'll be set for a month. No, no, no. That's, in my opinion, not the way to do it, because you're putting all your eggs into one basket. And it also means that, and this is getting into some broader topics, but I think it's fun to talk about and really helpful to know, is then, you know, if we aren't doing it consistently, what happens is we tend to grasp and like latch on to like, these places have to say yes to me.
Mm.
I have to get a yes from these 3 places. But if it's just a weekly thing we're doing, hey, we get really fast at it. We get really good at it. And we don't have to worry about getting any no's, because we know we're reaching out to enough places that we're going to get enough yeses.
Mm-hmm.
And obviously there's strategy to how to go about that, and the approach, and how to reach out to places and where to reach out, and how to have compelling topics and all of that. And I'm just using giving talks as one example. We could put other examples in there, but what I'm connecting now in our conversation with the CEO schedule is that it's the CEO schedule that allows you to be consistent with those daily and weekly tasks that are the ones that are going to get you clients.
Yeah. And as you look at that sorted list, now you can highlight in green the ones that are going to get you the clients, get you the talks, get you the consults. You know, then we make sure those get on our calendar, and we test how we can do those things specifically, consistently.
Yeah. I love that. Yeah. And I sometimes talk to my clients, I don't know how you feel about this, but kind of front loading those client getting tasks, whether it's like the first thing in the day or the beginning of the week, right? Or those things that we tend to avoid. I find that when I've worked on my podcast on a Monday, the rest of my week, because that's a weekly task that I have to do, and it's a process, you know?
Yeah.
I love doing the podcast, but it can hang over me as this big job, this big project I have to do that week. And so if I get it done on a Monday, then I just have a better week.
Yeah. So set rewards up like that. Do it when you have the most energy. So those are the kinds of things that are fun to think about testing as you work on this schedule and as you improve your skill of creating and following your CEO schedule.
I love that. So what does your CEO schedule look like? And I know everyone's different, but I'd love to hear, you know, your schedule and some of your personal learnings along the way with this. Where did you maybe not get it, quote unquote, right first time you did it?
Oh, I think too, it's always a work in progress. There's always things that you do and then little habits you fall back into and then you readjust and then you go back to it. One of the things that I'm doing this year that I have not done in the past is book all my calls Tuesday through Thursday. And then I have Monday and Fridays to do bigger projects. So I realized I realize it's not working as well as I would like it to fit little things, little parts of projects in between calls and throughout the week. And so now I book larger amounts of time on Mondays and Fridays to work on projects or to stay focused for longer.
Mm-hmm. How is that working for you?
I love it.
Yeah.
I really like it.
That's great.
Because it allows me to stay engaged. It's those task switching times that take away from, for me, that are more challenging.
Yeah, I've heard and I talk about with my clients the idea of having minimum 90-minute blocks of time. And I'm curious what your experience is with this, but what I've seen for myself, now I can do certain things quickly. You know, I don't need 90 minutes for everything, but if I'm really going to work on something like a new podcast episode, I'm going to need 90 minutes minimum for that. Or if I'm working on promo emails for a program I have, I'm going to need a larger chunk of time. If a client is researching places where they could give talks and reaching out to them, that bigger block of time is going to be helpful. Do you agree with that?
Yeah, I think, again, it just depends for people to test it. Because when we have... Not to call that a rule, when we have ideas that people say work for them and then we try it initially, it doesn't work, or we, you know, something doesn't happen. What if there were no rules and it was okay and you could try things and test them and see if they worked, and if not, try something different? So for example, people are very, just when it comes to your home, like maybe they always do laundry on Mondays and they're super good at that. I was never that person. I just did laundry when the basket was full or when I felt like it, and it worked. So I didn't have to instill some rule for me because I was never going to feel like it. I naturally felt like doing laundry, and I like laundry. And so that was easy. And I thought to myself in my business, what if that's the case? What if I am not someone that does something the same every Monday? But twice a month, I get really in the mood and I do 3 podcast episodes at one time, and then I book those out. And so I just encourage everyone to look at it like it's a fun playground that you get to test things and see what works.
I like that a lot. Yes. Yeah. You're kind of blowing my mind with this just, and it very much goes into something we talk about a lot at Marketing for Health Coaches, which is the non-diet approach and the diet cycle, which the diet cycle is, you can kind of imagine what it is, but it's where, for folks who don't know, it's the cycle of feeling the need to control. So you follow food rules or diet plan or a diet or a protocol, and you're really excited at first and you follow it. And then at a certain point, it feels too restrictive. You just can't take it anymore. Mm-hmm. And so you drop it, you go off the plan, you go off the food rules. then you feel shame because you didn't stick with it.
Yes.
Then you feel the need for control again. So you follow another plan or protocol, or, and so this diet cycle, which is, you know, originates from actual food, we can apply it to also where it exists in our, how we operate our business, how we operate in our personal life. And so I really love that. And it's, yeah, it's definitely making me think about my thoughts about myself.
Yes.
And one thought that I've had sort of competing thoughts. One is kind of, I don't have a CEO schedule, like, cause I'm not super structured. I'm pretty structured on, I go to exercise at these times typically, right? When I'm running a live program, I have my calls at these times. Like, I have to pick up my kids. It's like, so there's those certain like bookends. Mm-hmm. For my day, but then within the space in between, I'm kind of like, all right, well, I know what I need to do and I just do it. But I don't think everyone operates that way.
So that's where I love this comparison, first of all, that of dieting to your schedule. I think that's what happens. They tell you, oh, your schedule should look like this. You should use this technique to make it. What if that's just not true? And what if we can play with it? And breaking it down as little as possible. Like, let's just do one day at a time. Let's make a schedule for tomorrow and see what part of it we want to really focus on. And let's try it out and test it out and see what works. And then do another day. Like, just go one day at a time to start with. But what's coming back to me over and over is it's how you view yourself. It's not, it might not even be as much about the schedule. The schedule will flow from you when you view yourself as someone growing a business, someone successfully helping clients and growing a business and running this business. And more you think about you as the CEO or whatever word you want to use and growing the skills that you need to be that person, I think the schedule, you get to play with that and be creative with it.
Yeah. It's so funny. I was thinking about what I thought this conversation would be, right? And even for the listener, what they thought this episode might be is you laying out a particular schedule that you have found works. And actually, you know, just like we might expect a practitioner to lay out a food plan that quote unquote works, but just like dieting has a 97% failure rate, people cannot stick with it long term. The same with a cookie cutter schedule.
Well, I think for so many people, it would be disappointing. Just give me a food plan. Just give me a schedule that's going to work. And so I will give you this tip, like just so that someone has something they can walk away with and they can test. First, follow the, you know, this organizing steps and do that with your own schedule so you know what you need to choose to want to do. Then with your daily tasks, money-making activities, create a money hour where you create an appointment that's at the beginning of the day, let's say 7 a.m. every single day that you work. And in that appointment, you have a list in the description of the appointment. So I'm picturing a digital calendar. In the description, put some bullet points of things that will you want to be consistent at or things that will make you money. And when you start your day, slide that into the time that you're going to do it. So it's listed at 7 a.m., but let's say you get to work at 10, slide that appointment to 11 o'clock because you're going to do some other things first. And at 11 o'clock, you open that appointment and there's your bullet points of what to do.
Mm.
And you can choose which one you want to do, or you could do the same three consistent things every time. But now you have that and you're going day by day, sliding it into a time slot that works. And you can do the same thing for weekly tasks. Put it on like the Sunday. And then when you plan your week, slide the tasks into the times that work. And so then it kind of loosens it up. Like each day is unique. A lot of times people are like, well, I have calls at different times. I don't have a consistent schedule. Well, just slide those appointments in.
I love that. Oh my gosh. Okay. This is great. It coincides with something that I have found works for me, and I don't do it all the time, but I do it at times when I feel like my to-do list is more than I can just hold in my head. And so it feels really overwhelming, is I will make a list of like everything I need to get done that week.
Right.
And then I'll kind of look at my week and note like when I can get different chunks done. Sometimes it's literally writing it down. Sometimes it's just me saying to myself, okay, you're going to have this block of time, number one, number two, number three. Okay, look at the list. Okay, you're going to be fine. You're just going to start plugging away at it. And that's just what works for me. Again, it doesn't work for everyone. So.
Right. And a CEO like of a ginormous company would have an assistant that would do those things. So we are acting as the CEO and the assistant, looking at our calendar and filling things in.
Yeah.
So that is our CEO schedule.
Got it. Okay. So one last thing. It seems like the one important thing to having a CEO schedule is having some regular check-ins with yourself where you're looking at your schedule, where you're thinking about what's working and what isn't working and adapting,
mm-hmm.
right?
Yes, I would do that for sure once a week.
Okay.
And then when you're first starting out, do it the night before you leave your office or the morning of and just kind of glance over it and see, okay, this is, I know what I'm doing today and it fits in the time blocks that I have or this amount of time that I have.
Great. Well, Tracy, thank you so much. I'm going to put links below the episode. So you'll find links to connect with Tracy and learn more about what she is doing. There'll also be a link there for a free resource that she has on how to name your digital files, which I highly recommend getting your hands on because feeling organized is, you know, mentally so helpful. And since we live in this digital world, like I said, I don't have a ton of paper on my desk, but I do have a lot of tabs open on my computer and I do have a lot of digital files. And so I definitely recommend checking that out and the other links that I'll include below the episode. So thanks again, Tracy, for joining me and for this really eye-opening conversation.
Thanks for having me, Amy. This was super fun.
I hope you enjoyed this episode. You can find all of the resources and links to free tools to help you build your business in the show notes directly under this audio. If you like this episode, go ahead and share it with your health coach friends. When you share, it really helps this community and it means the world to me. And be sure to hit the follow or subscribe button so you'll always get my best business building tips as soon as they come out. Again, I want to thank you for being here with me today, and I will see you next week.